Welcome to the Connect with County Leaders podcast with your host, Brian Hill, County Executive of Fairfax County, Virginia. Connect with County Leaders gives listeners a chance to hear County Executive Hill discussing the county's priorities, opportunities, and issues with leaders from around the county.
Hello and welcome to Connect with County Leaders. I'm Brian Hill. On today's episode, I am so pleased to have Phyllis Randall, Chair of Loudoun County. Chair Randall, welcome to our podcast, and how are you?
Thank you, Mr. Hill. I am doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Now, you only call me Mr. Hill in formal settings. This is not a formal setting. Okay. Now, normally you just say Brian.
Well, Brian, I'm really happy to be here.
So, Chair Randall, you bring a remarkable, diverse professional background to public service. How have those experiences shaped your leadership style and the way you approach governing today? Because you are a unique leader.
Thank you. So yes, by profession, before I became chair at large of Loudoun, I am a mental health therapist with this emphasis area on substance dependence. And I worked mostly with substance involved and justice involved populations, youth and adults in incarcerated settings. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you, it was interesting because one of the reasons when I looked up and thought, you know, maybe I want to do something different, is I watched people walk into my jail that I thought, some of you belong here. But some of you, had you had something different starting, maybe you wouldn't be here right now. I will also say that being a mental health therapist has served me well in government, and you use those skills pretty much on a regular basis.
Yes. I don't want to talk about that, though. With the serving well in government part, because you're right. Yeah. The way you handle not only your board in the region is remarkable, because you use a style and a panache that is different from many. And, you know, coming from my background and my culture, looking at a woman like you has been amazing. So thank you for your leadership.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Brian. Thank you so much.
You've called Loudoun County home for more than 30 years and raised your family here. What first sparked your interest in becoming involved in local government?
Well, again, two things. One, I would watch people walk into the jail, and I would think, gosh, this young man is, you know, 18 years old, mm-hmm. incredibly smart. And maybe had he had, I don't know, an after-school program or something else to do, mm-hmm. Versus coming home as a latchkey kid and having nothing to do and having to make money in ways that you wish they hadn't made money. Maybe it would have changed. And so watching who walked into jails and prisons said, we can do better. That was the first reason. And secondly, I was very involved with my children's schools when they were young. I was a class mom. I was, you know, PTA, PTO, all those things. And I used to hear people talk about teachers and education in a way that I thought was not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And being as involved as I was, I thought, well, I can complain or I can do something different. And so those are the main two things that made me decide to run for local office.
You know, when we talk about local office, we also have to talk about the national scene. And when you have a national scene with local discourse,
sure,
it's unfortunate we have such discourse. And it divides local, state, and federal government. Often plays we as local play a stabilizing role. What's your thoughts on what's going on in the world today?
Well, first of all, I think I wake up and lay down with the Serenity Prayer. You know, what do I have control over? And what I have control over, I do try to affect the most positive change possible. And what I don't have control over, I pray about it often. I pray about it often. I do think that local government is so important because for the most part, local issues really are not partisan issues. Mm-hmm. And I say all the time, you know, my two closest colleagues on the board is the supervisor from the Sterling District and the supervisor from the Catoctin District. Mm-hmm. And they are at completely different ends of a political spectrum, to be quite honest. And so I think it's important to try to find common ground and try to have common goals. And that's what you bring to the local office. Now, it is tough when you have to then interface. And in Northern Virginia, we're so close to D.C. We do have to interface with federal government quite a bit. That is hard. And for the most part, I go into this as what's the best thing for Loudoun County? What's the best thing for the region? What's the best thing for the Commonwealth? And those are how I make decisions about how to interface with federal government.
So, you know, when you say what's best for Loudoun, what's best for the region, When you look at what we're dealing with now, as you know, you're a chair of MBTA and we've been doing DMV moves. Do you feel as though we are prioritizing appropriately here in this region?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you know, Northern Virginia is 42% of the population. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we have a greater number of people who are working, and that money is now is going into the Commonwealth pot, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so it is important to prioritize things like how people move back and forth to work. How fast can they get back to their families? What's the retail scene? What do we have a great business environment? What is good for Northern Virginia is good for the Commonwealth. And so I prioritize Northern Virginia because I prioritize the Commonwealth. And quite frankly, you know, it hurts me to see Northern Virginia schools that have a 97% graduation rate and then look at Richmond City or Petersburg schools have a much lower graduation rate. I don't care any less about those children. I want those children to succeed in our Commonwealth and for the common good as well. And whenever I can do in Loudoun County to help someone in another part of the state, I am more than happy to do that.
Well, you know, that's a great dovetail into the next question because you've been appointed to several state boards and in, you know, by three different governors. How do you do that?
Yeah, and two different parties, no doubt.
Well, definitely two different parties. But it seems like we have more than two parties nowadays.
Yes, sometimes. Yeah. So I was proud to serve on the Fair Housing Board appointed by Tim Kaine and retained by Bob McDonald. And then later on, because of my background, appointed and served as chair of the State Board of Corrections. So I served as chair as two state boards. And truthfully, you know, you walk into some situations and you ask the question, how can I serve? I was raised in a large military family, and growing up, my parents told me we live in the best country in the world, and the price to live in this country is service. And so the question was, how do I serve and how do I give back? And so if a governor said to me, I need you to serve here, I tried to get to yes.
Okay.
And I was really pleased to be able to do that for three governors, both parties, and two state boards, and become chair of those boards, and had a great time doing it, to be honest.
So you said three governors. That means you've been in Loudoun County for a little bit.
I've been in Loudoun. Yeah, we've been in Loudoun County for about 34 years now.
So how long have you been on the board of supervisors?
I'm at the bottom of my ninth year going into the top of my 10th year.
And the first ever African-American.
First ever female. Person of color okay. to serve as a chair, elected chair in Virginia's history.
And excuse me, say that again?
The first ever person of color right. to serve as elected chair in Virginia's history.
See,
now, I will say, you know, I say that, and I say that with a complete understanding that no one gets to that point by themselves. I got there because people whose names I will never know fought fights that I will never have to fight. And because of them, I stand on their shoulders. People who allowed me to sit at a lunch counter. People who allowed me to walk into a classroom. Mm-hmm. People who allowed me to drink from a water fountain. It's because of them I was able to go to school, run for chair, vote, all those things. So I say that with great gratitude of everyone who came before me.
So I applaud you always. And then I'm looking back on your tenure, your leadership during the pandemic, your work with regional organizations and managing the growth of the data center industry. Which accomplishments do you believe stands out most during your tenure, your great tenure?
You know, the thing I'm most proud about in Loudoun County is we completed a comp and class study. When I came into the county government, Loudoun County employees were some of the lowest paid employees in the region, and many of them were working one person, working three jobs. I always say you have to take care of the people who take care of the people, and making sure that Loudoun County employees now sit at 100 to 105% of the AMI of the region is important, and that they have enough people to do the job. So I'm very proud of the work I've done for the employees in Loudoun County. I'm equally proud to have bought collective bargaining to Loudoun County. I am a very union person.
Right.
And collective bargaining is very, very important to me. And so I'm glad that we've done that. And Loudoun County was the first county in the Commonwealth to take down our Confederate statue. And that will always be a point of pride.
Well, again, a lot of great accomplishments, of course. You've also championed initiatives such as the Loudoun Commission on Women and Girls. How do you measure success? And what does it mean to you to see the impact of those programs during your time?
Yeah. Loudoun was one of the only counties that did not have a commission on women. And when I brought it to the board, my first term, my 6-3 Republican board voted it down. So I heard from so many women across Loudoun County that said, do it anyway. So I started it from my office, and it is now a standalone nonprofit. And one of the things we're most proud of in the Commission Women and Girls is we have a yearly Girls Empowerment Summit where we bring middle school and high school girls together. We have them talk to women in different fields from STEM to sports to broadcasting, all types of, and say, what do you want to go into and how can we help you get there? And so the women talking to our girls has been most effective in the Commission of Women and Girls. I'm really proud of that effort.
So how do you think the impact of all the things you've done define the success of Phyllis Randall? Because you've done so much. You've been so great. We've talked about so many things just in our short time here. And I'm so privileged to be in your presence. I didn't know all these things. And I'm so grateful that you took time with us. But when you're done as chair, what do you want people to say?
The thing about a legacy, that's a legacy question, is, you know, it is for other people to some degree to decide what that legacy is.
Right.
And I know that to be true. I say this all the time. I have three things I have to do every morning. When I get up and look in the mirror, I have to be able to look at myself and say that you're doing the things the right way. Not do you ever make a mistake, because you're going to make mistakes, but have you done your best? I have to be able to look at my children and all our children and say, have you done what you have to do for their future? Because that's why we are here. I have to look able to say, can I look at my God and feel comfortable that he can look at me? And if I can do those three things day to day to day, then the legacy will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are going to be detractors are going to be detractors. That's how it's going to be. You do not step into this without knowing there are going to be detractors. But I know who I am and I know whose I am. And that carries me through some very hard times.
Trust me, coming to Fairfax County 8 years ago, never thought it was going to be the way it is. I mean, we work hard. People don't realize how much
we work hard
in local government. And, you know, when I'm getting a text message from my chairman, McKay, who's sitting next to you at a meeting and it's 9 o'clock, people don't see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we do things like that and we don't talk about it, because that's just a part of the job that we do.
The job you asked for.
And I'm so happy that our residents who do see it understand it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So that being said, as the first African-American woman in Virginia history to chair a county board, because we did say that earlier.
Actually, with due respect, I said the first person of color.
Of color.
And I say that because okay. It's always an assumption that a man did it first. So... Not the first woman, it's the first person of color, because with respect, yeah.
Well, I will take that as I'm going to rephrase a question.
Okay.
As a first African-American or the first person of color in Virginia history to chair a county board, how do you view your role within the broader context of, you know, Black history in Virginia and Black history in America? Because when you say first of,
sure,
it's just not Virginia. Right?
Sure.
You're setting the table for the future. People like me are so happy to see a person like you being in your role. How are we going to set the table?
Well, and certainly, let me tell you, I certainly hope that I am setting the table for the future. Otherwise, why am I here? I say all the time, I owe two groups of people. The person that came before me, especially people in Loudoun County, the Mary Randolphs, the Gertrude Evans, the Maddie Lasseters, the Louetta Watkins, who fought the fights that I don't have to fight, but also the women and people who will be coming after me, to make sure that I know that, I mean, if a door was open to me, I'll open that door wider for the next people to come through. You never go through a door and then close it behind you. You open that door wider and invite as many people in as you can. And so, you know, when the Commission Women and Girls, all the youth and government days that we do, there's never a time that a group of young people ask to speak to me that I don't tell my scheduler, clear my schedule, because that is why I'm here. And if I can encourage anyone to do this, either politics or policy, That is my job. And if I don't do that well, if I don't, I can build all the roads and all the schools and all the data centers and all the buildings I want to. But if I don't build people, then I failed at the job. And so that's what we're trying to do in Loudoun County.
Well, what's amazing is the words, the before, the today, and the after. Yeah. So, Chair Randall, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Brian, thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us and for sharing your insights. It has been an absolute pleasure. Connect with County Leaders podcast is something that we've created here in Fairfax County. And I'm so blessed to have you, Chair Randall.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here, Hart. Thanks.
Happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month.
There you go.
This has been the Connect with County Leaders podcast with Fairfax County Executive Brian Hill. To listen to other great Fairfax County podcasts, visit fairfaxcounty.gov/podcasts. And for additional audio content, tune in to Fairfax County Government Radio at fairfaxcounty.gov/radio. For more Fairfax County news and event information, visit News Center Online at fairfaxcounty.gov/news. The Connect with County Leaders podcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.